This is your 2015 FMFFL champ, Mike Staffel, and you're listening to the Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast.
And now, your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast, with your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart!
Welcome to the show. 2021 regular season in the books. It's official. We know where everyone stands. And for the first time in the history of this podcast, all three of us are in the playoffs. Congratulations, gentlemen. I never thought I'd live to see the day. And for the record, I think I was the only one who missed the 2 years that we didn't have the podcast. Ugh. So I started thinking maybe I should stop doing the podcast because there's a correlation with that. But we broke the curse. We're good.
Yeah, you went on a hot streak. Got a little lucky there and you made it in. Congrats.
I got a little bit of luck. We'll talk about it. Thank you, Bill Belichick. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not the hottest team in the league, though. Someone else has one game on me. And I think he's in the
room. Oh, man. Man. I will say about this. I'm tied for my finish, the highest finish. I was the 2 seed in 2014. But
is this your best record?
Ooh, I don't actually know that.
It's probably a little funky because there's an extra game in there, but is this the most wins you've had in a regular season, I guess, is the better way
I think so. I can't remember. And I would go back and look, but ESPN destroyed our files.
That's right. So we never existed before this year.
And this is Mike's best finish ever. He's never been a number one seed. So
really?
Yep. He's been a number two seed. He was the number two seed in 2018.
So this year
is his best finish too.
Well, I mean, that lines up with the curse of first. So who had the number one seed the year he won it in 2015? Do we know that?
2015 number one seed was Joey.
Oh, too soon.
In the first round to Ryan.
Oh, too soon again. Oh, that can still happen this year between the two of them, I think.
Yes.
I think they play each other. I could be wrong. I don't know. I haven't looked at the bottom bracket. I don't really care to look. It's not that important. I'm always looking up, always looking onward. Yeah, so week 14 in the books, and we've got ourselves a tentative playoff bracket. We are awaiting for our regular season champ to call in at any moment in this podcast. To reveal his decision, a la LeBron James, on who he's playing. And we'll reset it when he gets on. But essentially, right now, he's slated to play me in the first round, and he would get 6 additional points added to his score if he elects to not do anything. Should he choose to play someone else, he would replace me with them, and I would replace that other person. So for instance, if you chose David and I would swap spots and I would be playing Bryce in the first round. That's how that works. It's all up to Mike now. Today's the deadline. I don't know. He hasn't given me any hint, so it'll be a live reveal on the show here and we'll get to react. And then
can he pick someone from the loser's bracket?
I thought about that little joke too. No, he cannot. Has to be 1-8.
Yeah, he can. He just has to move there.
Yeah, it's a reverse. Mike actually goes to the other side to play them.
Power that would be, though, if he could do that and, like, send someone to the loser's bracket.
Man.
Well,
that he just didn't want to play.
It would be my dad's lucky day, I'll tell you that. Oh, man. Man, oh, man. Well, we've got several things we can talk through. We can talk through week 14 results. We can talk through some trivia. We could talk through Big Board. What do y'all want to do first?
Oh,
you guys,
man.
Pick. I always pick. You guys pick.
Let's do a little trivia.
And now it's time for Trivia with Stuart.
That's right, Stu? Boys and girls. It's trivia time. Okay. How many scores this season have we had that were under 100 points?
Well, David said two. I always like to bring that up.
Those are easy.
I don't have the most.
You don't have the most as really? You're not tied for the most?
Have you already looked this up, David? Oh, I guess you have.
I have my own big board, but I remember looking at this. I know, I'm pretty sure it's Daniel has had three.
Well, that gives us five. I want to say Ryan.
Bryce has done it.
Ryan's
done it maybe three times himself, at least twice.
Really? I'm going to go seven.
Seven total?
I'm going to go nine.
Nine total? You're both under.
Wow.
We've had 12.
12?
12 scores. So David has done it twice. He's right. Daniel has done it three times.
I think I did it once, actually.
You did it once.
Gross.
Bryce did it once. Mike Searles did it three times. He and Daniel are tied, both with three. And that's the most. And then Ryan has done it twice. So that totals 12. The lowest score, y'all probably, that's ingrained in all of our heads.
Well, David's
smiling. How many scores have been under 90? You had 12 under 100. How many under 90?
Four under 90. And it's among two people.
So it's just
David, me and Ryan.
You and Ryan.
David and Ryan.
Wow.
Yeah, David and Ryan. Ryan, which is just this anomaly, he had two of the highest weeks of the year for anybody. And then the next week laid an 89 out there. So he really dropped off.
Yeah.
So in regards to lowest scores, this is kind of a confusing question, but who has the highest lowest score? And what was that number?
Gotcha. I would probably guess Mike Staffel. I feel like he's had a pretty high floor all year.
I'm going to go Stuart.
And I would guess 115.
Stuart, and it's going to be 124.
It is Staffel.
Dang it.
At 119.56. I had
a win?
111. Yeah, it was a win. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you won with his lowest score.
Was week four. Yeah, he didn't lose week four. So yeah, he won.
He lost week four.
He lost to Jackson?
I don't know who he lost to. I know he lost.
He's only lost
to Jackson. I have it on this other board here. Let me see. That is Staffel. Oh, that was week four that he lost.
Yeah, so he lost to Jackson.
Yeah, to Jackson.
119 is a low score. Almost 120 is actually really good for 14 weeks.
I know that it really is good. It just shows he's been super consistent. Because he doesn't have a bunch of. Well, I guess he has two high scores.
Yeah,
what I would consider high scores
over 170.
Over 170, yeah. Or 175. Over 175. Okay, so how many scores have we had over 200?
Oh, we did this. And I
it's seven or eight.
Yeah, I think it's higher. I think it's nine.
I think it tailed off towards the end. I don't remember the last
one. I know, but we had five in a week or something. Or no, I'm counting that 195 from Lewis. I think we had four in a week. I'm going to go nine still.
Nine, and David, you're going to go what?
Eight.
Both too high. We've only had five.
Yeah.
And we have not had any since week five.
I thought we had more than that.
So we had three in 1 week.
We had three in 1 week. Yep.
As I said, the majority in week five. Came in a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So top 15 scores. Do you remember who's the highest and what it was?
Staffel.
It was Staffel at 222.
Yeah.
And then Ryan at 216. Senior at 210. Myself 208. And Daniel. He had three of the lowest scores under 100. And then he also squeaked in a 200. What's so interesting is he had a 200, which was his high. And then the next week he scored 99. And that's like with Ryan, he went 216, 184, and then 89. So it's quite the swings.
Or me, I went to 162 to 61.
Yeah.
They're all 100-point swings.
They are. Yeah.
One is an outlier there, though. In one
direction. So going back to reversing my question from the highest lowest score, who has the lowest highest score, and what's that number?
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Gosh, that's a good one.
Joey.
Yeah, that's it, I guess.
And I would say it's 150. Just nice round number. I know that's not right, but it's kind of that okay. Ballpark.
Joey, 150. What do you say, David? Did he
get the 150? I was going to say Joey, like 148. But no, he did have some.
I know. I
think like better recently.
I feel like he did have a 160 somewhere in there, so it's probably not.
It could be Lewis.
You know what? That is a good guess.
No, Lewis
had 195.
Mike Searles?
My dad had a 170 in there.
Yeah, but I.
So that
maybe it's me. Oh no, I had a 190 something. Never mind.
Yeah, I thought you scored a 200.
No,
I had 195.
195.
Yeah, 195.62 was David's. So
okay. I'm gonna go Joey, and I'm gonna stick with the 150.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's Joey, but
maybe a little higher than that.
I think it's 163 or something.
Yeah.
Close. I'm going to give it to David. It is Joey, 164.32.
Did he just do that?
Yes, that was
yeah, cuz recently he's been really good, I feel like.
Week 12 he was 164.
Prior to that, what was his high?
149 in week three. He's had a 149, a 147, a 146.
Yeah, he's hung out right around 150, just below it. A lot.
Yeah, your dad had kind of an outlier. He had the 170, but he has his next closest after that was 152.
Yeah, he's the second lowest score on the season, so he has that one outlier, but
yeah,
I knew that he had one big week. That's the reason I didn't think it was him.
So an interesting note in just dealing with high scores. Two teams last week had their season high in scoring. Do you know who those two teams were?
Jackson.
Yeah.
Jackson is one. Yeah. And Bryce is the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Bryce scored higher. Interesting.
No, but I was almost going to guess Bryce for the lowest high score.
Yeah. Until last week, he might've been, let me see.
I thought he'd scored.
Bryce had one hit 167.
Yeah, but
He's had a 172. He hasn't had it in a long. Well, no, he had 167 in week.
He's had 11. He's had a bunch of games from 160 to 170, but that was kind of a ceiling prior to this past week.
Yeah, yeah.
He had had some higher consistent games, but nothing like Mike, where he did 222.
Right.
Okay, let's move over to the head-to-head records. So basically, what is your cumulative record or individual record? But I'll ask the questions for the cumulative for right now. Who has the highest cumulative record? Who would you say? So there's a total of, because it's 11 other teams, 14 weeks, so it's 154 total possible wins, right?
Okay.
You have 11 wins each, wins or losses each week.
Yeah. Are we trying to guess the record? Who has the highest?
Staff.
Yeah, we'll do both.
I'm gonna go so Stewart. You said what was the total number that we're splitting here? 154.
154. Yeah.
I'm gonna say 100 clean. 154.
Staffel, 154.
Staffel and 115.
Okay. It is Staffel. I'll go ahead and tell you, with 106 wins.
Okay.
I'm right behind him with 105 wins for the.
Wow.
So something else just in regards to that, there we have had, which with the scoring going to the 100th place this year, yeah. Which is interesting. We have still had a tie. We've had one tie, not actually in the head-to-head.
Right.
Not
if
not,
they
would
have played each other that week.
If they would have played each other that week, they would have tied. So, any clue who those two teams are?
Give us the score.
I think it was my dad or Lewis.
The score was. Hang on, let me see.
What was the tying score?
It was one of the dads.
I know that was.
160.02. Well, that rules Joey out.
Was it me and Mike?
It was you and Mike.
That happened 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going through that and I was like, oh my gosh, they scored the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was the second
in the same week.
Yeah. The reason I remember is because I was doing my board. And I give, you know, weights for the second highest score is usually 11. And so because of that, I had to split it.
Yeah. So 106 and 105, and then it jumps down 15, 17, 17 wins. So Mike and I are at the top, and then it jumps down 17 wins is the next highest. So 88 wins is the next highest. It goes 106, 105, 88.
Is that Bryce?
That is Bryce.
Yeah.
Yep. Who's fourth at 86 wins?
Jonathan.
Senior.
Jonathan.
Oh, wow.
Big mover.
Big mover.
You won almost every matchup in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was a high scorer 3 weeks in a row, I think. Or two.
You were a big mover on my board too.
Yeah, my team. Hey, listen, I got a quarterback. Started playing like a quarterback. That's all I needed.
Yeah, I mean, your last 3 weeks: 165.8, 168.2, 164.1.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was 143 and then 139, and it's.
Yeah. No, it's. 25 point difference because of
coming together.
Yeah.
There is one team that has a winning record against everyone but one team, and that with that one team they're tied.
You and Stewart, or you and Mike?
It is me. I'm the one
you
that
and you and Ryan?
No, me and Mike are tied.
Oh, okay.
And I have a winning record against everybody else. Mike has a winning record against everyone, but he's tied against two people, me being one of them. Who else do you think he's tied against?
Bryce.
Senior.
Neither one of those. It was a surprise to me. He and Jackson are tied.
I was gonna say Jackson was my next
yeah.
Guy. 7-7.
Jackson got unlucky. I will admit this now. He got pretty unlucky, and it all boiled down to week 13, but he had a better – I mean, he was right behind me in scoring.
Yeah, so Jackson is 78-76. The interesting thing about him that's different than everybody else is he has a losing record against me and Bryce, and he has – all these ties. He's went 7-7 against Senior, Staffel, Jonathan, Ryan, and Daniel. So that's quite the anomaly, because most of the time you either had a winning record or losing record, a few ties sprinkled throughout, but most of his records were ties, which shows in 78-76.
So on my big board, if you do the top six and bottom six, he's 7-7.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I mean, we split when I played. I'm the only one out of us who's played him twice, and we split. So that checks out.
Yeah.
I mean, but.
So anyway, I thought it was just, if you use this head-to-head matchup, who for making a decision on who you should play in the first round, if you were Mike Staffel.
Well, say it. He won't know. He won't know until after he listens.
I am going to say it.
Good.
So his best record is against Joey. He went 12-2 against Joey.
Well, can't pick him.
Can't pick Joey. So then next, he went 11-3 against Senior.
Oh, wow.
Daniel, Mike Searles, and Ryan. So Mike Searles and Ryan
Senior is the outlier in that group, because Daniel's been volatile. Daniel's been very volatile, and I will say Senior did play him a couple weeks ago and lost to him, and mainly because Mahomes just played like crap. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I would argue, and I think he would too, like, I'm not picking Senior as an opponent. Like, that would be a bad idea.
Yeah,
leave it to Stewart.
What was our records against him, Stewart?
So David, you went 3-10-1 against him.
One tie. What happened? Hold on. Let's just ask this question. It's very unlikely, 1 in a million, but what happens if we tie in the first round of the playoffs, or at any point in a meaningful game in the playoffs? What's the tiebreaker?
You flip a coin.
Is that in the rule book?
I have to go back and double check, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Oh my gosh.
That would stink.
That would be epic, is what it would be. Okay, go on. So 3-10-1.
David went 3-10-1. I went 7-7.
I'm right there. I was going to say, I'm right there with that group, because you didn't name me. That's why I was confused.
Well, yeah, because you have that tie, so you weren't in the.
Gotcha. You're going to a coin toss with Mike in the playoffs. Let me ask you this, David. John, would you rather do a coin toss with Mike now or play out the week? If I said, hey, you have a 50-50 chance with a coin toss, or you have
to take
on
if you
Mike.
Take the last 3 weeks, Mike and I heads up, we're 1-1-1, I think.
Exactly. So you might as well coin toss
right.
It up front.
Yeah, I'm 1-1-1 the last 3 weeks against Mike. So
in all of your scores, so in week 12, David, you lost to Mike by 5 points. You tied in week 13, and you beat him by 3 points in week 14. So I mean, you guys have been close for a while.
Oh,
the last
man.
3 weeks anyway.
I don't think he's gonna pick you then. That's too close to call.
So my team has gotten better the past 3 weeks. It was a very low bar I set for myself. That's interesting.
It is.
So Mike is 9-5 against Lewis, but most of those losses against Lewis came in the, he had three losses against Lewis in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So in the last, since week eight,
I played him twice in that stretch.
Yeah, Mike is 6-1 against Lewis. So, truly, if you're asking me just from this head-to-head matchup who Mike should pick, I would say it's Lewis.
He hasn't. Lewis hasn't scored over 126 in the past 7 weeks.
So the question becomes, he's already got Lewis on his side of the bracket.
Right.
Do you take the automatic win with Lewis in round one and then duke it out later, or do you strategically...
Right. See, that's it's so volatile.
Because it's Daniel, too, and Daniel is playing with fire. I think, still.
Do y'all have a prediction before Mike gets on of who you think he's going to pick?
I think he's going to keep it the same and take the points.
You think? Think?
Yeah.
Man, I was thinking he was going to take me.
Well, I think so.
He'd rather play me than you.
I think he's afraid of making a decision that he didn't have to make. I mean, he can just take the points. Where, well,
I talked a lot about.
I know you need to stop. Also, I thought it was funny though. Also, if it wasn't me, I would say David, because then it does throw me on that side of the bracket and he only has to face
you. Yeah. If I had a top five who I would think was going to win it all, if he flips me to hit playing him, the four of them are on the bottom bracket.
Yes. Right.
And he's the only one in that top bracket.
Yeah. I think statistically that's the right thing to do. You take your chance with a fluky game comparatively to his season from one
right.
to three at all.
I think you do that versus taking Lewis.
Yeah, because then.
But you're 1-1-1 in the last 3 weeks.
Well, no, for sure. I mean, that's the.
That's why I think if he's gonna move me, he's gonna move me for David, because right. moving me to play me the next round makes no sense. You might as well put me on the other side of the bracket if you don't want to play me.
Yeah.
But
that makes sense.
Finish the records. And then, cause you didn't, did you say what I was against Mike? Maybe I missed that.
No, I didn't. You,
me senior. Well, you already said senior.
You went 6-8 against Mike.
Interesting.
That's
got to be two halves of a season, right?
You've won the last three against him, yeah. You lost the first 2 weeks, won the next 2 weeks, lost the next 3 weeks, then won, lost the next three, and then won the last three. So it's kind of actually been all over the place.
Back Mike. And forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Let's see here. There's one team that has a losing record against every team.
Me.
No, it's got to be my dad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mike's rules. David, you have a winning record against two teams. Who is that against?
Lewis and Mike.
Lewis and Mike.
Wow.
Lewis just has a winning record against one team.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have really helped me in this measure. All these measures.
Yeah.
Well, that's the
Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis's only winning record is against Mike Searles. Ryan's only winning record is against David, Lewis, and Mike Searles.
Yeah.
Joey's only winning record is against David, Ryan, and Lewis.
David's
this is correlating to my board pretty much exactly.
Is it?
Yeah.
So is David the biggest outlier in the whole thing? Like, he should probably be in the loser's bracket.
Well, I would say in Lewis too. Lewis probably should be too.
So you would put Jackson and who based off your
probably
board?
Probably Jackson and Joey.
Jackson and Joey.
Yeah.
So if you take the actual wins and losses and you do the top six and bottom six, it's actually interesting. But I can wait to share that until when Mike comes on, or I can share everyone, but Stewart and Mike's information.
Yeah, we have that water bet that's going on. Yeah. So what we will do part of the water bet was the points four. Do you know who the top 4 points for are on the year?
I've been tracking this closely for tiebreaker purposes, but we have someone joining us as we speak. Let's see if I can find his intro music.
Oh, I know who that is.
Our regular season champion, Mike Staffel. Welcome to the show. Feel free to speak at any point over your
or
music.
We can just keep listening to that music.
Maybe you're at some mute. Point he'll learn how to unmute.
Let's put words to that song. Do you remember when Mike lost in the first round?
You're all haters. You're all haters.
There he is. Yes. Okay, Mike.
12-2. I can't hear you.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Mike, before you reveal it, before the big reveal, we've been talking
reveal
about
what?
Records.
What are we talking about?
We've been talking about head-to-head matchups. We've actually narrowed down statistically who you should play, but we're not going to reveal that till you say who you're playing. And then we'll discuss. I'd like to hear your thought process. We only have another like hour and a half, though, so keep it brief.
Perfect. Yeah, no, sure. So, that's my specialty. You guys know.
So, I will say, Mike, as your arch nemesis in this league, a congratulations is in order. 12-2 is very impressive. So great season.
Thank you, sir. Aw, you're too kind.
The whole league is just so proud of you.
Okay. But if you don't win it all, it means nothing. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, the whole league has made it very clear that they hope this is the apex of my achievement this year.
Is this live?
Oh, wow. I mean, we've got another guest.
We're going live.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to the big...
Oh, we have made a horrible error. Abort mission. Abort.
What is happening?
You may have to mute that.
I've got it, yeah.
You may have to mute that host.
It's a good thing you don't have. It's a good thing you don't have video on. I'm really nervous about what's going on that side of the phone. Okay.
Christmas party.
All right. I'm going to play you a kind of a lead-in song here, and then you can go ahead and reveal who you are playing at the end of it.
So now I do okay.
Okay.
So
let me do it again. I'm just kidding.
Do you want? So you just want me to say it and then explain?
Whatever you want to do. This is your time. We've carved it out okay. for you.
Yeah. So, you can milk it as long as you want to.
Take your moment, babe.
Okay. Oh gosh. Okay.
You can do this, babe.
So
you can do it. Let's go.
LEDSU. No.
The like four listeners that aren't in the league are leaving. They're unsubscribing right now.
Yeah, we've lost the one.
Lost our
we've lost Joey's coworker, two coworkers from Bizarre Voice.
We lost our German listeners.
Yeah, I was gonna say a couple of internationals that we've got over there. So
weirdly, our Swedish audience has grown, but everything else is.
No, so you know, you wanted to hear, or the main word I would use to describe the process of this decision is torture, because you know you think like, oh, it's so great, and then it's like, and really the bracket just set up horribly for me to, like strategically, Daniel and Lewis playing in the first round on my side of the bracket makes like it yeah, because those. I mean, those are the two best matchups for me by far, especially now with DeAndre Hopkins out.
Yeah.
But I will end your suspense. I'm not picking either of them.
Ooh. All right.
Because.
Oh, he's going to Kerrville. He's going to Kerrville. Hold on.
The deal. Oh, no. Am I cutting out? Am I cutting out? Oh, shoot.
We are going to.
This is why I wanted him to say the name first.
Worst
segment ever.
Believe it
or not, I will be playing David 2.
Oh! Ooh. Amazing. This is unbelievable. It was called by one of us on here.
Here's the deal.
Go
There's
on.
Two trains of thought. The first train of thought is, you know, you got to win the first week to have any chance, right?
True.
So that would lead me to choosing Daniel or Lewis. However, I feel like that's equally beneficial to you, John.
Yes.
And it doesn't get you out of my half of the bracket, and we are the two strongest teams on our half of the bracket. It's pretty clear, yes, in my mind. And then
my argument was, if you're going to move me, you don't move me onto your side of the bracket still. You move me to the
right,
other side.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Because then I'm – and honestly,
might as well
I
take
looked
the
at
points.
Matchups.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and your matchups are as good or better next week, and my matchups are arguably tougher. So I was like, if I was going to want to face you prior to the championship, I would want to do it this week as opposed to next. But I like my chances against David more than I do against you. I like my chances against Daniel or Lewis the best.
Right.
But I have tough matchups next week, and it would be better for me to have
an easier matchup in
week two. And here's the deal is I was like, because everyone, you know, I talked to a couple people, and some people are like, well, you can't make the championship if you don't win week one. And I said, I really don't care losing week one versus week two.
Right.
If I don't make the championship and or win it all.
Right.
And so David is going to be a tough matchup. He's got a lot of sneaky good players, and I could definitely lose week one. But for me to make the championship, I felt like this strategically was the best path for me.
100%
even
agree.
Even though, yeah.
100% so. Agree. I will ask you this. Had things been different as far as alignment, who would – if you would have just picked your perfect first-round matchup, who would you have picked?
Before the D-Hop injury, it was for sure Daniel. After that, and with Josh Allen possibly being out, Lewis was looking, you know, very vulnerable. So it was definitely one of those two. But
yep,
because they had such favorable records early in the season that gave them those seedings they have now, that kind of hurts me, because I'm like, if one of them was on the other side, it would have been a no-brainer. And yep, that's not to say one of those teams could easily outscore my roster this coming week. But I mean, they would be just on paper. That would be the choice for sure.
Yeah.
But
when you listen back to the beginning of this podcast, Stuart covers kind of the highs and lows.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Mike, who do you think you, between David, Daniel, and Lewis, who would you say that you have the best record against?
Oh, out of those three?
Out of those three.
Maybe. I would say my first guess would be David, followed by Lewis would be my next guess, but I'm honestly not sure.
He's the best. Mike's the best.
Babe, this is the part where you don't talk.
your best record is against Daniel. 11
really?
Wins, 11 wins, 3 losses. Yeah. Which
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a little deceptive because you are 10-3 against David, which you might be thinking, well, that doesn't add up to 14 weeks, but you have a tie with David.
That's
in week
right.
13.
I saw that after a stat correction, we had the exact same score. Yeah.
That's insane.
I saw that. Yeah.
And your record
like,
against
imagine
Lewis
if we had...
is 9-5. Your record against Lewis is 9-5. So.
Okay. And Lewis had a lot. I felt like he was way stronger in the first half of the year.
Yep.
At
he
least
was,
scoring
yeah.
wise. Yeah.
You've got
I remember him
one,
being in the top
6-1 with him in the last half of the year, 6-1. So.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, the more, you know, everyone was talking about, like everyone else that wanted to share their opinions of what I should do was saying David, which is funny because I was like, when I started looking at it at first, I was like, dude, Daniel and Lewis are definitely like, I mean, Daniel to me looked the weakest. I mean, he's got good running backs, but he's got very suspect wide receivers. I mean, and a lot of that was after he made the move for Derrick Henry. He kind of decided not to, you know, try and make a serious push this year and kind of position himself for the future. And so that was definitely a conscious effort, but I was like, so he would be the guy to attack somebody that had a better record, but then kind of punted on this season, more or less. However, like I said, you know, John going against Lewis, I don't have a lot of hope that Lewis would upset John. And John, like the Rams have, I believe, as good or better of a game the following week. Most of his guys had as good or better matchups for week 16. And while that's not everything, I mean, you know, that's what you have to go off of, right? And so,
well, I also get AJ Brown back next week. I don't know what that's worth, but that's a major wild card. So, yeah, again,
right.
To me, if you're moving me, you're moving to the other side. Otherwise, just take the points.
Exactly. And then senior is the scary one, right? Because he's been underperforming y'all talked about it last week, but
yep.
You know, he's been very average the last like 6 weeks or so, but you just are really terrified to pick Mahomes, you know, in the first week. And then he's got Fournette. I mean, he's got a lot of guys that can pop off. And especially with Fournette versus Brady, if we are to go against each other, that's such a possible swing. Like it was, I guess that was the week I played you, John, I think, right?
Where Brady had like
nine points and Fournette had four touchdowns.
Fournette had four touchdowns, and I think three of them were rushing. So it's just
So that's a scary one. So
the fact that I am the two seed and not playing Lewis, David, Daniel, and I'm faced with senior, I'm not too happy about that.
Well, what I was going to say too,
I'm very happy about that, and I had no intention of messing with that beautiful setup there.
You know, Mike, you went 11-3 against senior this year too, just FYI.
Did I really?
Yep.
Well, he's like I said, he's the one that he's one of those teams right now that on paper, just based on name recognition and you know, kind of brand value, whatever you want to call it, you're a little more intimidated. But if you look at the numbers, there it's not there. He might even be a better option than David, but you know, based on the rankings and things I looked at for the upcoming week, which of course are, you know, they're wrong as often as they are right, but people aren't super high on some of those matchups, but I still see there's definite, you know, possibility for some of his guys to pop off. And so, I mean, I'm decidedly nervous about that game, but it just, like I said, to me, I'm not going to feel great. Like, man, I didn't lose till the second round. I'm right. Trying to, you know, we're all here to win the championship. And so,
well, let's do this. I would rather. Let's give the floor to David now, since he was appropriately called out and he's here to respond.
So the first thing I wanted to say is the Lewis win at the winning this past week with,
I guess,
120 points is all he scored and he won. Had he lost, I would have actually been the fifth seed and you would have had Lewis to be able to swap out. So essentially Lewis and I would have moved from the bottom to the top.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
That loss was actually a huge
John Tutton's stupid Carhartt.
And so that was, as you kind of look at it, to your point, Mike, I feel like that was a huge matchup that could have made things way better for you.
100%. That would have been,
you would be playing Lewis.
That would have been
the
dream.
And then you would be either playing me or Daniel in the second round. Now, with all that said, of the bottom four bracket that you could have picked, if you want to pick, and I'm just picking arbitrarily the past, you pick 2 weeks or three, I'm picking 3 weeks and the points four. I'm actually higher than Bryce and David Senior. And so I am thrilled that you picked me, by the way.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
For a couple different reasons. Number one is I already said that.
You rejected my Kittle trade, you little jerk.
Hey. I'm thrilled I don't have to play Kittle. Though I do want to play him with all my guys I got. No, I'm thrilled because for me to come out of the
I can't wait to put you out of your misery.
Oh, yeah.
Deciding to play for this year instead of positioning yourself for next year when it would have been worth something. But, you know, I'll let you enjoy one more week of relevance. Yes. That'll be fine.
Yeah, listen, for me to win like this, if I'm going to win, this is what needed to happen. I'm going to need to win against one good opponent, which would be you. Next week would be an awesome match if I do win, which I'm going to be favored to lose, right? And I have nothing to, I mean, I've already
What are you talking about? You're projected for 13.51. This is great.
Yeah, like that was super cute. That was great. That was really
cute. Both of them.
He did that last year, too.
I actually had to get a calculator out and start adding up what I thought he was going to start.
Oh, you think I was going to make this easy on you?
Oh, I just wanted to know.
I wish more people would have followed suit. Thank you, Bryce, for joining.
I did, and then I was like, this is too stupid, because I thought he had already made his decision anyway. But anyway.
I already knew he was going to pick me. So picking me was the right move. I said as much before you came on, Mike. Yeah, and I actually wanted you to pick me because I feel like that's my only chance, if I have one, to advance. Because
you would rather play me than Bryce?
He's just saying to make it to the championship. Yeah. Same argument you have of like having the
side
teams.
Of the bracket. Sure. Yeah. But I will say this is I improved your chances less than I would have improved John's by gifting him a path to the second round. That was
for sure
the easiest. So. I mean, you know, it was going to change, you know, multiple teams' fortunes one way or the other. And I think I was like, man, sending John to an equally easy matchup.
I think Stewart's pissed no matter what. That's the best part of all this.
I was concerned you would pick senior.
It crossed my mind a little bit. I just think... You know, it's probably one of those deals, right? This season, and based on recent performance, which is kind of what you're getting at, your guys like Waddle and Waller if Russ continues to get right, Allaire and Williams have both been playing well. So, I mean, based on recent weeks, then, yeah, your guys might be more likely to pop off. But looking at guys like Mahomes and –
Yeah, Fournette, Mixon.
Fournette and Mixon. I mean, it's just those are the names that they put a little more fear in you. But they may be less likely to put up that week. So, but the other side of this is none of us know what's going to happen.
For sure.
So
it doesn't matter how much
research you do. At some point, the games are going to be played and the scores are going to be what they are.
I do feel like the rule that we've put in place for the number one seed, this has probably been the most dramatic – impactful choosing of your matchup that we've ever had, just because, you know, you want to say like, I really would wish this was easier, but it is compelling to say, okay, you've put probably three of the weaker teams on one side of the bracket, at least from a projection standpoint. And Stewart's over here saying, I'm the second seed and I probably got the worst draw to ever get to a championship you could ever ask for, which is what, again, that's your prerogative. Yeah. Like that's the power that the one seed has. And I think that this is playing out.
Well,
that
played into it as well. Yeah. Because I mean, it evened it out. If I had played you or picked Daniel or Lewis,
but,
you know, based on the numbers and projections and points
Recent
for and such,
trends,
it's like,
more,
overall, you typically say, you know, swapping you for David, your team has been, and David might have numbers to say that I'm wrong. I don't know, but
three of the top four scoring teams from a season long scoring are on one side of the bracket now. And then you're on your own side.
I put it this way, Mike, before you came on, I think that if I had to pick the five place odds as the five favorites to win with this move, you've now put four of them in one side of the bracket with yourself being the lone wolf on your side.
Right. Yeah. And it's like I said, I mean, in an ideal world, 100% Ryan would have beat Lewis. Y'all would have switched. It would have been a no brainer. And that's like, that would have been, you know, the ideal case for like the value of this decision as the one seed. That'd and it's still valuable.
Yeah,
but it would have been the most beneficial. Whereas now I'm like, yeah, I like my chances against Daniel or Lewis better than against David, but I, like I said, I'm like,
couldn't, yeah,
you if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose. That's the
best way you could line that up. Yep.
I was, you know, people, I'm like, I think like I 100% have a better chance in week two, keeping John, getting John off my side of the bracket rather than just pushing that matchup out 1 week. Now, you may have a clunker in week 16 and yep. that would have worked out great, but I can't know that. I have to go off of
right.
what it looks like. And Jefferson's got a good matchup. The Rams have a good matchup. The Niners have, like, there was just a lot of, it's, you'll be projected for a very strong week.
Yeah.
And not to mention AJ Brown possibly coming back. Like yeah. You said,
I think so. week 17 is going to be my worst projection of the playoffs, which would suck if I make it to the championship, but that's neither here nor there. I'd like to hear Stewart's thoughts. He's been awful quiet, shaking his head, so frustrated that he just, this is not what he wanted.
Don't be discouraged.
No, oh, it's yeah. not what I, it's not what I wanted. It's a little frustrating, you know, just because I don't think senior is the seventh best team, right? I think he's probably fourth or fifth best team. So I really wish I wasn't playing him. But you know, as I think about who I wish that I, who those kind of ideal draws, I really wish Mike would have just picked me at the beginning. It's kind of one of like the in Survivor
when take out the biggest guy.
It's like, I'm just going to go for the win right here. And if I win the first week, then it's gravy the rest of the playoffs. But he was obviously too scared to do that, and which is understandable that, you know, he's scared of me. So,
yeah, no, I have no sympathy for your tough draw since you have one of the best rosters we've ever
That's
seen
right.
Not to mention you stockpiled more picks for the future because league members don't care about setting up dynasties because they want to get one good player while they're now making themselves horrible
I know
for the foreseeable future. But
I don't know how
I'm glad that everyone's
that
happy and Stewart is I mean hey I like you know, he's my rival. It did not feel good to give him props to say that he was playing chess when we were all everyone else
I
played
know.
checkers. But I'm also not someone that's going to deny facts, and for him to still have by far the strongest roster and pick up additional picks down the road, I was like, I mean,
yeah, I think we need I think we need a new smooth criminal.
So that's the other reason I thought you were going to pick senior was to try the best odds of Stewart losing would be playing really Bryce the second round and Jonathan the first.
Sure.
So honestly, those are probably record-wise. Mike and I are even 7-7 on the year. So ideally I would not want to play. I wouldn't want to play Mike. No. So if I cannot see him and win the championship, or if I see him in the championship, I'll be sure and beat him. But with my other matchups. Obviously the teams that I have performed the best this throughout the year are, Lewis and Daniel and well, David is who I went 12-2 against David. So he's the ideal,
and he's
candidate
no longer,
for me to play.
You'd have to play him in the championship if you ever played him. So,
which wouldn't that be awesome?
Wouldn't that be a gift from Mike?
He'd beat me with all the guys that I gave him. So, Waddle and Edwards-Helaire and
Waller
and Waller would be funny, but I'm glad I'm not playing Jonathan in the first round or Bryce.
Round.
I feel like I have a better chance at beating senior. Looking at senior, he hasn't scored 150 since week six. So
what is that, he the new Ryan
on,
is he the new guy that's over projected?
Yeah, he's going on 8 weeks of 149.6 or under.
It's going to be so fun to listen back to this one after he beats you, Stuart.
No, I know. I mean, for sure.
How mad are you going to be?
What I'm really hoping
He hadn't what scored really 195 until week 15, and then he smoked me.
What I'm really hoping is that David beats you, and Jonathan would have
loses
lost
to Bryce.
You by would have lost to you by 5 points if
with
oh,
the 6 point
listen,
differential.
Of course. I mean, you entertain all of the worst case scenarios, and everyone, you know, that was, I will say that was, it was not the reason why I didn't choose Daniel, because ultimately it was, it 100% came down to what I already said. But the fact that he talked so much smack, I was like, if by some miracle his garbage roster were to pull off the upset in round one, I don't think I could handle being in the league with Daniel after that, because it would just be unbearable that yeah, he'd be like, remember when you were 12-2 and then you lost my team that I had given up on and was terrible. And, but really it was all about the way the bracket set up, which I, you know, yeah, I mean, 100% wish could have swapped David for, or I mean, yeah, Lewis for Jonathan. And that would have been a much better deal, but there's no guarantees no matter who you pick, and there's no way to know what's really going to happen. So you just got to do, well, you know,
Stuart, you can blame these other two guys for Senior being in the seven spot, because they both beat him, I think, in consecutive weeks. When he was projected to win against him. So
It's a little frustrating, but at the same time, I'm his players scare me. Like, I mean, exactly
what
Mike said.
That's what Mike said. Yeah,
His players scare me, even though he hasn't been performing that well. You still don't want to. You don't want to go up against Mahomes, and he doesn't have Hill anymore. But Mahomes and Kelsey.
It wouldn't be a
the potential is there.
Drops,
the potential is there.
It wouldn't be a fluke if he drops 175. It's just he's got the guys to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, just talking about beating Senior. I didn't ever have a chance to really chime in. David and I were actually at our life group Christmas party. And so I just happened to glance down when I was losing by like a point or two or whatever it was. And it projected me for like less than 1 point more. It's because Brady hadn't gone to overtime, I guess. And I guess my defenders kept scoring more points, but so it was like off the cuff, like, haha, watch me come back and win.
Yeah, I saw you say that in the chat, and then it worked.
And then we had our party for another like hour, and then I check it after the fact, and I went from 103 to 130, and I was like, and I was projected for literally like a half a point more. I was at like 103.
Opposite happened.
I thought Mike was joking when he said this.
I think the opposite happened. I think he ended up only scoring like five more points the rest of the night.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up beating him by over 20, I think, or something. But it was it showed me, like, it said, like, I was at 103.1, and it said projected for 103.64. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I have a chance, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And I was like, watch me come back and win this now. and then I scored, like, 27 more points when I had, like, 5 minutes left on the clock between my three players or whatever, so... But
well, Mike, congratulations.
Gentlemen, I'll let y'all get back to the rest of the pod.
And there goes Mike.
I was gonna have David do the big reveal about the top six, bottom six, but it's all right. We'll do it
it's
without
okay.
him.
He was on the exit ramp. We'll let's go ahead and do it now though, if you'd like. Top six, bottom six.
Let's hear it, David.
All right.
Mike,
what was your bet? Can you remind us of your bet?
My bet was that I would have the most points for on the year, which I did by 26 points, and that I would be higher than him in the top six, bottom six.
Okay. Well, I'm going to first start out with the theoretical points metric that I have, which is 12 points for the highest score on the week and one for the lowest.
Okay.
On the year, where do you think you ranked, Stuart? It's between you and Staffel.
Yeah. I think he beat me. I'm not just saying that humbly. I think he It's not a humble brag. I think he beat me.
So for to give you an idea, there's a total of 168 points you could score in this metric, which that would equate to having the highest score every single week of the season. Okay, so obviously no one's doing that, but that kind of gives you an idea of the parameters here. So 168 is the most. The leader did 120.5, and that was Mike Staffel. Stuart, you were right there at 119.
Oh, man.
So very close on the year, which kind of sums up what you were saying. So you led in points four. He actually led, if you look at that metric, from a theoretical final finish standpoint.
Was it the past couple weeks where Stuart, when did you score like 130?
Yeah.
The past couple weeks that you kind of gave it up?
Yeah, my last few weeks were not. I had a couple weeks in a row that was in the in the 130s. Okay. I had 111 at one point. That was my low score of the year.
It was pretty tight. Yeah, it was pretty tight coming down the stretch.
Yeah, you were up in this metric and through week like 11, I think. It was close. You were definitely at the beginning of the year. Then Mike kind of carried himself second half of the year. You
know, I really struggled, especially in the middle of the season when Henry went out. Kyler went out at the same time. So there was a four game stretch where I didn't have either of those guys.
So, 120.5, 119. The next third place was 102. So kind of there's a big tier there.
Definitely.
Of 17 points. And to give you an idea, for the next 17 point tier, you've got six teams within 17 points. So the highest of that would be Bryce. He's third. He had 99. Sorry, he had 102. Jonathan, you had 99. You were fourth. Hmm. David Sr., 94. He was fifth. Jackson, 93. Daniel, 91. So that was kind of your next group within that same. And then there's a little bit of a gap, and you've got really your bottom five. Your bottom five, so ninth, had 85. For comparison, your lowest had 63. So that's actually a huge gap.
That'd be my dad, right?
Yeah, Mike Searles was at 63. Lewis came in second to last at 69.
Wow, what an outlier.
David, the second me, I had 72. Then there's another gap to Ryan and Joey at 84 and 85. So Joey was eighth. Ryan 9th, myself 10th, Lewis 11th, Mike 12th.
So you know what's so interesting about this is in my head-to-head matchups.
It correlates with that really well. That's what I was saying earlier.
It is almost identical. Mine goes Staffel, Stewart, Bryce, Jonathan, Senior, Jackson, Daniel, Joey, Ryan, Lewis, David, Mike Searles. So the only difference is you and Lewis switched.
And we're within 3 points in this metric too. So it's close. Yeah,
and you were in one win or loss on mine. So that's right. Wild how close that is.
Yeah, that is wild because it's not really necessarily correlated either.
Yeah. Right.
Because you could have it, you know, it's the week, you know, Mike Searle scored 160 something and he was like the sixth highest score. You know, and other weeks 160 something is the highest score. Okay, so that's that metric. So kind of interesting there. Obviously kind of ties into what you had. So theoretical wins, top six, bottom six. We had two teams that were the worst. They were 4-10 in this metric. Any guesses who that was?
So this is just scores against the median.
Yep.
Right?
So top six is a win, bottom six is a loss.
Knock your record out. This is just about top six, bottom
six. Oh, you're not adding it to the
I will in a second. This is just
the
6-6
metric. This is just performed. If you were top half the league, bottom half the league all year, where did you fall on that side?
So who would be the two worst? They were 4-10.
So control group, my dad.
Yep.
And Lewis.
Nope. Me.
You.
Ooh. 4-10. Lewis was 5-9.
God, you are a big outlier in the playoffs. This is unreal.
Joey is 6-8. And then those are the only ones who have losing records by this metric. There's only four teams that have losing metric. You've got Ryan, who's 7-7. Jackson 7-7, Senior 7-7. Jonathan, you're 7-7 as well by this metric. You were 3-7 at one point, I believe.
Yeah.
And the last 4 weeks, I think you were top six every single week.
You know what's so funny is that's a direct reflection on my actual record. I was 3-7 at one point, and then I won 4 in a row.
Wow. So if you actually were to add these together, then Mike Searles would be 7-21. He would be the lowest, right? He was the lowest in the top six, bottom six metric, also had the lowest actual wins and losses. Lewis, who made the playoffs, would be 13-15. Okay. I would be 11-17. Ryan would be 11-17. Joey would be 11-17. So you have five teams that are 11-17 and worse.
Wow, but and Lewis would have beaten you.
Yeah, or, he was 13-15.
Is ahead of all those guys.
Correct.
Yeah.
Huh. Joey, 11-17. Did I say that already?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So by that metric, if you were to add it, the bottom four would have been Joey, Ryan, myself, and Mike. Jackson would have actually made the playoffs because he would have been 13-15. Joey, would have missed at 11. Daniel would have been 16-14. Jonathan, you would have been 14-14. Senior would have been 14-14. Because y'all both finished 7-7 and your top six, bottom six.
Oh,
seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Daniel's record was off then. You said 16-14.
Oh, sorry. Daniel was, 16-14. Oh, 16-12, sorry.
Thank you. I was like, where did he get those extra games in there? Okay.
Yeah, no, 16 Daniel
got some bonus games.
Yeah, Daniel was 8-6 by both his actual record and then his top six, bottom six was 8-6 as well. He was the fourth best team in that metric. Which is kind of surprising to me.
He just I'd love to see his like standard deviation though. He's all over the map.
Yeah, he is. Bryce was third best in this metric. He was 9-5.
Yeah, he was consistently haven't had a
which good then leaves Mike Staffel and Stewart. What do you think you did, Stewart, in the bottom six, top six?
If Bryce was 9-5, I'm gonna.
What do you think you did, and what do you think Staffel did?
I'm gonna say I went 10-4. I bet Staffel went 11-3.
I think
you were right about one of those.
I think you tied. I think you tied 11-4. 11-3.
That is correct. Y'all both tied.
Really?
11-3.
Oh, man.
So the crazy thing is Mike Staffel this past week was the sixth highest score, I believe. If he would have scored two less points, I think you would have actually won.
Golly, why didn't he do that?
And had that had that occurred as well, you would have also won the other metric too for your theoretical total points. So it kind of speaks to how close y'all really were. And, 26 points over the course of a season on the points four is also really close.
Yeah, that is close.
That's a little bit more than 2 points per game.
Listen, if I can't make the championship, I want to see you versus Mike in the championship. I just want to see it play out because I feel like it's our best rivalry we've got going on right now. And it would be our two best teams, and it would just be a true championship.
Y'all were a clear tier above everyone else in the regular season. So.
Yep.
For you to be that and then end up where you're at in the playoff bracket is unfortunate at best.
Yeah. And let's just let the record show.
Oh, here we go.
To be where I'm at with the best running back in the league at the time, I'll say at the time, less than halfway through the season going down and still being where I am, I'm pretty proud of that. But it just like I told Mike, come on, guys. Come on. Why are you booing?
Nobody cares.
But none of it matters if you don't win the championship. And that's right. Who cares? Right. So guys, titles are all that matters.
You know what I'm proud about? I'm proud to have the lowest points for.
This is unreal. I was waiting.
The second highest points against.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You didn't just make the playoffs. You made the 6th seed.
Yep, that's like, true. Like, and I could have made the 5th seed had Lewis lost.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, and now you're the 8th seed, so.
Right.
Fair enough, sure.
Playoff seeding wise, but
yeah,
he with his just anomaly of a season, he didn't just like, it's not like you look at the 8th seed and go, oh, that guy just got lucky, got in and whatever. He was the 6th seed. He beat all the right people. That's what I was saying. I was so frustrated. You beat me. Who else did you beat that you had a tiebreaker with?
I beat Jackson. I beat my dad. I didn't beat Bryce, but he wasn't there. I beat Lewis. Everyone who was going to be that same record, I beat.
I needed you to lose when you wouldn't lose, and then I needed you to win and you wouldn't win. This last week when you lost to Jackson, that's what I was like. I got so stinking lucky with that wind game in Buffalo, because I saw this coming.
I was actually going to sell because I knew I wasn't going to beat Jackson because he actually had a really good team.
Yeah.
Well,
he bought that week. Like, he bought Brian's team, and I was like, great. Like, he's going to win week 14. And Daniel somehow out of nowhere with Damien Harris goes bonkers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will say that too. Yeah. For David to have made the playoffs and to have scored one of the worst scores in our league's history.
Where does that stack up? I know we don't have access to ESPN, but.
No, I went through all of it. So I have it. It is it's the 10th worst score ever, but all of the other bad scores were from 2017 and before.
Right.
That's which is before pre-PPR, right. So he really is in a loser category of his own with 61.92 points. In week 5 of 2021 will go down in the history books as one of the worst scores ever recorded in our league.
You know what? You need to also benchmark or earmark his offensive output for that week, because I believe a third of his scoring came from defense. So.
Oh yeah, no, that's right. No, it was half of his scoring. It was the third.
I think he had like 40 points from his offense. I think we need to keep track of that metric and say, is that the worst offensive showing of all time?
39.
I know. I don't want to hear anybody talk about injuries, because that week killed me.
I mean, that 30 championship last year.
39 offensive points. That is unreal.
Oh, for sure. I lost 3 guys to literally concussions in like the first or second quarter.
Oh my gosh.
Sure, I still would have scored bad, but it wouldn't have been 61 bad. Anyway, I own the record now for the highest variance too on any particular season. Because my high score on the year is 195.
Yeah.
So my gap there is pretty large.
You'd have to set a record at scoring, or do what you did, set a record with low scoring to have that high variance.
Well, and just so we all remember clearly about that week, 61.92, and he, which is the 10th lowest score in league history, and he played. Wait, who were you playing? Were you playing Staple or were you playing Ryan?
I played against Ryan, and he had his highest score of the year.
Yes.
216.
Right. 216.
A triple tsunami.
A triple tsunami, which will never happen again. I mean, by 150 points.
That's epic. If you're going to lose like that.
Yeah, Ryan had 1, 2, 3, 4. He had 5 players over 26 points.
Did he have any offensive players over 39 points?
Yeah, did he have one guy outscore your offense?
Yes. Mark Andrews had 39.
So if Mark Andrews, if he would have benched the rest of his team.
And just started Mark Andrews and his defense.
He should have just played Davante Adams and Mark Andrews and he would have beat me. Davante had 37 himself.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
Ezekiel Elliott, you remember that guy? He had 30 against me.
Wow, is that guy still around?
Yeah. Najee at 26, Dak Prescott at 29.
Ugh. Golly. What happened to that team?
I had Daniel Jones get crushed trying to run into the end zone that week.
His neck snapped in half.
Do y'all remember that?
His head fell off.
His head fell off? Well, we've got a couple things to touch on here. We're talking about some of the players and league owners who didn't make the playoffs. Before we do that and wrap up the show with that, do y'all want to cover this mysterious trade where you cut Bryce out of the deal? I'm still waiting to hear how this all unfolded, because apparently
that's
it was
David.
Pretty,
that's David's doing. So
pretty
David
cutthroat. David.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's been so long now.
I know.
So Bryce was very active during the trade deadline. So was I. Stewart had been looking to shop Henry. This was before he traded Henry. And so Stewart was also very active, is the point. Bryce had really been looking to get rid of James Conner. And he's been asking me to take on James Conner, which honestly, I probably should have, because he's been awesome, frankly. And I think partly because I've Chase Edmonds. Who's been hurt, you know, for the past couple weeks. And he had been basically throwing players for players. And I had kind of said that I was most likely selling, and that I wasn't really interested in player swaps, especially Connor's not a long-term keeper type player. So to be giving up some of the things, he was looking to strengthen his receivers. I think he was looking for DJ Moore specifically. And so he was trying to do some swaps where, you know, he gets one of those receivers and then something else, whether it's a pick or another player. And I wasn't interested in any of that. We'd been throwing around a bunch of stuff. I told him I'd be willing to get rid of some guys for basically, I told him what I was kind of willing to do. And he kind of went and put a trade together with that. and that trade included, it was a three-way trade between myself, Stewart, and him. And if you got to look, I can't remember the details of this right now.
I found
go ahead.
I just
read it.
I pulled it off my phone.
Okay, so, yeah, read it.
So Bryce would receive Clyde Edwards-Helaire and David's third round, and Bryce would send James Conner. David would receive Waller, Waddle, and Conner, and send Kittle in his third round. To Bryce.
Yeah.
I would receive fair. Kittle and give up Waller, Waddle, and Edwards-Helaire. So my text thread with David goes, he screenshotted it and said, "Did you approve this deal with Bryce?" And I said, "I never got an actual offer, just the screenshot that you got." Right. And he goes,
"Yeah, so what Bryce was doing is he was texting us individually." And right. So I was like, I would probably do this offer, but I didn't know if Stewart was even interested because we weren't on a three-way text.
So David goes, would you do it? I'd just cut Bryce out and would be willing to do that. So then I said, I just sent you an offer. And he said, it's a good offer, just deciding between you and Staffel. I'll make the deal shortly. And then I replied, Bryce wouldn't be happy. And David goes, LOL, I know, I already told him. Ha ha.
So I did tell him. So I got to looking at the trade, and essentially what's happening is I was giving up a third round pick to get James Conner. And I was like, well, in this trade, Stewart would still get all the same players. The only thing that changes, instead of me getting James Conner, I'll take CEH and I'll keep my third. Yeah. It makes no sense for Bryce to be in this trade.
Which you were right. That is right.
And so that's all Bryce was trying to do, is he was trying to get James Conner, and he was basically downgrading, as he calls it, to CEH with a third round pick. And I was like, well, I'd rather just have CEH and keep the pick. So I had all that going on, right? And so as I'm doing all this, I'm then texting Bryce and I'm like, well, I'm probably going to take this offer because I'd rather do exactly what I just said. So I told him before I accepted it. Because part of me feels bad because I did tell Bryce what I wanted to do and then Bryce did all the work. And then I was like, oh, this makes way more sense without you. Part of it too is I was at my daughter's, we had an event that night. And so I like wasn't able to fully focus. And so I was kind of telling all these different people, I was at another meeting and I was trying to tell all these people, yeah, that sounds good. And then I actually got to looking at it, I'm like, wait, no, that does not sound good. And so like, I kept going back and forth. And so one of those conversations was after I had already decided that I was going to cut Bryce out. So Bryce is like, Bryce then starts scrambling and he puts together another deal. This deal, I think, involves Saquon Barkley. Stuart, I don't know if you saw that one.
I don't know. Jeez. I don't think so.
Wheeling and dealing.
Okay. So there was another deal that involved Saquon at that point that he was obviously giving, Bryce was giving up Saquon. And in that deal, basically he had, at that point he was like, well, I think you can get more from Stuart is what he tells me. So he knows that I'm going to make the deal with Stuart at this point. He's like, I think you can get more. And then he goes and tries to put another trade together in which I get more from Stuart. And so in that trade, it was the same trade we actually did. And it was George Kittle for Waddle, CEH, and who was the third place player?
Waller.
Waller.
Yeah, Waller. Thank you. Waddle Waller.
Yeah.
And so I threw that out there to Stuart. Stuart then counters with a fifth, where I give up the fifth. That's the deal we actually did. Well, in my other thread with Bryce, Bryce is like, he'll give you a fifth. Because I've talked to him. So what you need to do is get a fifth, Waddle, Waller, and CEH. So I literally read that text from Bryce, and I went over to Stuart. I'm like, I accept. Not knowing that the fifth round, I was giving up the fifth round.
I remember this. You were like, I read that wrong, but I
totally accepted. So I was literally, there was so much going on.
Let's see, this is the difference between sleeper's functionality before, because this all happened after that Monday night game. In that like hour window before the trade deadline.
So I don't even know if you would have accepted that, Stuart. Bryce said you would because Bryce was then trying to work another deal to get me more, which was kind of funny. And so what happened was Bryce set up the original deal. I cut him out. Then Bryce works on another deal to still make it better for me, only for me to then not do that and still screw it up on myself.
Well, that's kind of what I'm looking back at my text thread with Bryce. I don't think I ever said I was going to give up a fifth round. So that's I don't know where he got that from.
Saquon, I think, and you were giving a fifth to get Saquon and he was going to give me that fifth or something weird like that. He could correct us on the thread, but.
Oh, okay. No, I see. Yeah, I see. It was a screenshot that we did where.
So anyway, it just quickly turned to, no, you should get more for Kittle. I was like, I feel like I'm already getting a lot. And like, I would have probably given up a pick because it made sense for my team. My team was not as deep. It made sense for you, right? Because you needed more high-end players, which is exactly what Kittle is. And I needed more depth. And, you know, the downgrade from going from Kittle to Waller was totally worth, for me, CEH and Waddle.
Yeah.
You were probably never going to play them. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Right. No, yeah. Yeah. And that was one of those deals that I got all those players from Daniel. Not necessarily needing those players, but really, I really got all those players for depth. And so, or to flip them, which is what I ended up doing. So,
well, you've
owned, Kittle had a good week for you last week.
You've owned Kittle two separate stints this year and complained about it the first time. And now I think you're happy. So,
well, congratulations. He's healthy. He's healthy.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what we said, but that's fine. All right. Let's wrap up the show with an in memoriam for those who were unfortunate and didn't make the playoffs.
R.I.P.
So what I want to do here is kind of recognize the four teams that do not have a chance to win a championship this year.
So sad.
And we'll... I guess go in reverse order from worst to ninth place. Starting with the team with the most interesting name on the season, Team Batman 57. And if you guys can think of any highlights or lowlights or something to kind of bring up that is memorable for you this season, feel free. This is kind of their
funeral. Yeah, I mean, for Mike Searles, my big board, which I'll figure out, I might send it to y'all and y'all can post, or I can try and post it, or Joey can for us. Mike Searles was the most unlucky team on the year. He had the most weeks out of any team with the highest losing score on the week. So he had 1 week, week two, he scored 151.9 and lost. Week five, he scored 170.3 and lost.
Yeah.
Last week, he scored 163 points and lost. That's three wins you otherwise should have had easily right there. And that could have almost got him into the playoffs with another game bouncing his way.
Well, those are the things that fell your way, because you guys have very similar points four on the season, and you had a lot of fortunate, like you beat me with like a 120 something. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. By that, we're talking about it. The most lucky is the lowest winning score on the year. I did that twice. Yes.
Yeah.
I was not the only one to do it twice though.
Mike Staffel.
Mike Staffel did not do it at all.
Oh,
sorry. No, I did not lead that metric.
Oh, there's someone else.
There's one team that did it three times.
The lowest score to win?
The lowest winning score on the week.
Lowest. Oh, I see. Lowest winning score.
So this person, Lewis. They won.
It was Lewis.
It was Lewis. Lewis won a week at 109.
And then he won last. Was that last week?
Or he won last week with 120, and he won another week at 122.
Yeah.
Those were all lower than I did it twice. David Senior also did it twice.
Yeah. That's why I was frustrated, because one of those against me, and that was for the division. But again, our deepest condolences yes. for Batman
57. So sorry. So sad.
On the bright side, you do have Tyreek Hill going into next year. You did add an extra pick and didn't give up any picks. So here's to 2022 for Batman 57.
Here.
Moving along, I think the next team is it Ryan or Joey? I don't remember. Where did they finish in the actual standings? I know Jackson was the ninth place team.
It is,
I believe Ryan is 11.
Yeah, Ryan is 11.
So team John Dutton's Jacket, you suffered a similar fate to season three, just taking bullets left and right. I think you can go ahead and not leave the jacket on, but you can go jacket off this season. And, I think the thing that I'll always remember about the season for Ryan was the promise that he had leaving the draft. And he's Najee going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Interesting fact about Ryan's team on the year. He actually leads the league as the biggest underperformer as it pertains to projected score versus actual score. He's the only team in the league to have a difference of less than 10 from his projected to his actual.
I wonder if that would have been the same in ESPN as it is Sleeper. Is that a function of Sleeper?
Over the course of the season, he was projected for, on average, 146.7. If you take the average of all his projections, his average score throughout the year was 136. So a difference of negative 10, which actually was the most and biggest underperformer, which he could tell you, and he knows.
Yes.
Which is also very surprising, because it felt like he had a much better team. But I think y'all were talking, I wasn't on when y'all were talking about it, but I think Stewart maybe mentioned it, at some point it's just not underperforming and it's just not a good team.
You have to win games. It's the,
he was, he was the one coming out of the draft that we all picked and said he's by far the best team. He was our number one power ranking. I think for the first several weeks, even with some losses, we were like, no, he's really good. And then when he made the trade to get McCaffrey and really didn't give up anybody, it was like, man, that just made him even better, right? And so the fact that none of that came to fruition, and he really just those guys just did not perform the way they should have. To me, I think there's really only one thing to blame, and that I think it's the fact that he drafted Henry Ruggs. So that's it from me.
Again, our deepest condolences to you and your family. But speaking of CMC, I think there's one thing that stands out for too many Kirks this year, and that was probably resetting the bar for worst trade ever made, which ironically he was on the other side of that trade the last time it was the worst trade ever made with Alex Smith and getting a first. This time he did the opposite and had a by far better player and got worse value for him. So not sure what to make of it. The other thing that I got to say is the most impressive thing that I'll remember about this year for my dear, dearly departed brother is the amount of times that he won the Chocolate Moo Moo Milk Award. He had to have set a record. We don't have the official rule book or the count in front of us, but just off top of our head, we had 6 or 7, unless David has the actual record.
Let me see.
Well, we didn't do one for week 14.
I think it was 6.
I think if we'd done week 14, we might have just given it to him to say that he had gotten half.
I mean, is it just not named after him now?
It is the Joey Searles Award. Yes, I believe it should be.
It will be until someone else can take that mantle from him. So Joey, you named it Chocolate Moo Moo Milk at my bachelor party, and you claimed it this year. So we're gonna send you off in a proper way. Rest in peace.
Yeah, what's interesting about Joey, I think, and y'all talked about it too, was his this idea that he was always trying to win. Because if you actually go and average out, and we just talked about it negatively for Ryan, but the average projected score, he was the lowest over the course of the season. His average projected score was 128 points.
But what was his actual?
So he was one of the few teams that was actually above that. His average was 134, so he actually exceeded that, but
not by much.
Not by much.
Not enough to be considered a contender.
Yeah. So
so one of the things, for all of the bad that happened to Joey or bad moves that Joey made, which landed him in this spot that we are now, you know, just giving our well wishes to his family. One of the best moves that any league member made all year was picking up Cordero Patterson. Yes. Joey picked Cordero Patterson off of waivers for $2 after week 3, I think, or week 4. And that guy is the number 7. It was late. Yeah, it says week. Oh, it doesn't say the week, actually. September 16th is when he did it. So it was maybe week 3, after week 3.
Yeah.
Week 2.
After week 2. Because he wasn't projected to be the starter. It was Mike Davis. And then you've always known he could score a big touchdown or big play. And then I think you started to see that he was getting like a ton of carries. And you were like, this is weird, especially because he has a wide receiver designation next to him. Yeah. Very Ty Montgomery-ish.
I remember saying on the pod that I thought I had watched a game and I thought he looked really good. And yes, to your point, that's one person I'm kicking that I didn't pick up because I had seen it and I'd said it even before he picked him up.
It's also jarring to see number 84 coming out of the backfield. It's just it looks like it's very unstable. I don't know, what did he end up getting for Cordero Patterson? I know he traded him to Mike.
He traded Cordero, Claypool, and your third rounder next year.
Yep.
And got T. Higgins, Van Jefferson, Mike's second round 2022 and third round 2024.
Yeah, so he turned a waiver wire pickup in week 3 into 2 draft picks, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's not keeping Claypool, and whoever else was in that deal. So
pretty impressive.
You know, you had the worst trade. You probably had the best trade.
And I, you know, and we'll get to this maybe next week. We can go back and look at the, but he also, I would say, had the best, probably the best draft pick in the, the year with, with Cooper.
Cooper Kupp.
With Cooper Kupp, fourth round, number one.
Where was Fournette?
Fournette was third, I think. I don't know.
I think he was.
We'll look all that. We can look at that. Kind of do maybe next week. We could do.
We should put like a top five, bottom five list together.
Yeah.
But again, rest in peace, Joey. Rest in peace. Finally, we've got our no longer. I guess he's still technically the reigning champion, but no longer any hope for this year. Wingardium Joey Bosa. Couldn't cast that last spell to keep himself alive. Couldn't control the wind in Buffalo. Couldn't stop the Wizard of the Dark Arts and Bill Belichick. Jackson, excuse me. He's gone from defending champ to chump. And we wish him the best. I will always remember that Buffalo Bills game until the day I die. Watching... as I mentioned last week, the only thing that made me feel better during COVID was watching them try and throw and kick a football in that 50-mile-hour wind. And the ball basically going sideways. Did you guys watch it? Did you guys watch him punt the ball in that weather against the wind? It looked like a 4-year-old was throwing a football. It just was just a duck.
I watched like 5 minutes of that game. I didn't get to see hardly any of it.
You legitimately were like, do we punt it from our own 40 or do we just go for it because we're punting it like 12 yards? Might as well just try and go for it. So it was the most unfortunate way to go out as a champion. Jackson, I feel for you a little bit, but I also am glad that it happened to you since we had a waterbed on the line. So rest in peace, Jackson. What do y'all remember most about Jackson this year?
The thing that stands out to me is the kind of debacle of his favorite quarterback, Russell Wilson. I think his team kind of
he lost his soul after that, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Russ just was not the same player this year, and so I would say, I mean, he started out really strong. I'm looking back at the numbers; he had his first 2 weeks were really good, and then when he got, wasn't it his finger that broke or something happened?
You hit it on a helmet.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, that's kind of what stands out to me. And then the fact that he sold his soul and got rid of Russell Wilson, gave him to David, pretty surprising. But Dalvin Cook, who's his, you know, his stud keeper. I don't know where Cook ended up, but he didn't have the year that he's had previously.
No, but this is the first time that Jackson, I feel like, has taken to the handcuff method and actually had Madison. Madison played well for him when he was out. He just wasn't Dalvin Cook. So
right. Madison's, I would say, is probably one of the best handcuffs in our league, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, on the season, Swift has been is a higher rated running back than Cook, to your point.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been hurt, too. So,
which is so surprising.
Jackson is definitely the best team that's not in the playoffs. In fact, he's probably better than 3 or 4 teams in the playoffs. So, you know, while I was saying Stewart, you know, had the most unfortunate draw of, you know, who he has to play, Jackson has the most unfortunate draw of who he has to play.
That's
true. That's the cow suit.
Always remember, it could be worse, Stewart.
It could be worse, yeah.
Well, that does it for our funeral service today. I appreciate everyone showing. There is no wake, so just go home. Is there any parting words from our wise pastor that's in attendance here today?
Oh, no. Just rest in peace and, you know, we'll see you on the flip side.